the yeast. I think I've heard beware the beast, but I've never heard beware the yeast. But indeed, that's what Jesus is saying. Well, unless we were Jewish people and it was preparation for Passover, I'm not so sure why Jesus would say, beware the yeast. And suddenly I find myself in the boat with the disciples wondering what I missed. I thought we were talking about bread. And actually, I like bread with yeast. It's much easier to munch. It's softer. You've had both kinds, I'm assuming. Bread without yeast, flat, hard like a rock. And bread with yeast, soft, fluffy, light, tasty, right? Yeah. Oh, maybe Jesus is talking about something much more important than that. Yeast is wonderful. It rises up the bread so that you can get the flavor and the taste and enjoy it more and spread stuff on it. Yeast is an impressive thing. And in another place we'll look at it in a minute, Jesus talks about yeast quite favorably because of what it does for taste and appearance, much more appealing. But Jesus is thinking about something else in the boat right now. He's thinking about this ongoing conversation with the religious leaders. If only they could understand, this whole nation could turn so easily. You see, as the leader goes, so goes the people, usually, in any group, whether it's a civic club or a congregation or even a nation. Not very often there's resistance to that, but when it does, it usually ends up flittering away. Jesus is concerned because the leaders just won't follow. They just won't get it. They're asking him for proof. But Jesus knows proof is never going to be enough for these people. They don't need proof. Proof is all around them. The lame are being made to walk. The blind can see. Dead people are coming back to life. I don't know what other proofs you people want, but clearly nothing Jesus could do to display the power of God is working for you. It's not about proof at all. They're not looking for a sign. They're poking. They're needling Jesus. They'll say anything to force him to say or do something that they can twist into something so outrageous that he will be discredited. They're not at all looking for a sign. They're looking to poke. They're looking to criticize. That's all they ever want. We can feel the sadness as the boat gloats over the water. Here out on the sea where there's no Pharisees or Sadducees, nothing but the deep blue sea, and it obeys the Lord's every whim. So as disciples in the boat with the Lord, what are we to take from this beware the yeast warning? Ah, they got it at the end. He's talking about the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of the Sadducees. Okay, what does that mean? I know what yeast for bread is, but I'm not so sure what the yeast of these people are. Well, let's think about this for a minute. The Pharisees were all a sect about one thing, knowing what God said and showing that they knew what God said. They were quite legalistic. They knew every jot and tittle of the law, and they were determined that we would keep it, and we'd make other laws to make sure that God's laws don't get accidentally broken. They had so many rules around the Sabbath, it was ridiculous. Even Jesus had no use for their rules about the Sabbath. And they couldn't understand, but remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. That's what the commandment is. Jesus, what is your problem? Why don't you understand? This is what the law says. This is what God wants us to do. This is how we know we are the right yeast for the world, if you will. So what's that about? Where did this come from, this obsession with knowing the law and showing? You know, we know some Christians that are like that too. They can quote a Bible verse and spit it out at you just as soon as you ask a question. You ever run into them? Oh, they're a real welcome sight, aren't they? They make you want to draw close to God all the time, don't they? You sad creature. You think that because you know all the laws so perfectly and you have this wonderful image of always keeping them, that somehow you're in the right groove with the Lord. No. But we mustn't be too hard on the Pharisees. Why were they like this? They were like this because all around them, they watched their culture going to hell. They did. They watched the Greeks come in, introduce naked wrestling and homosexuality. They watched all of their rituals about cleanness being thrown out the window as their young generation said, hey, live and let live. We want to be like Romans. But this isn't what God made us to live like. God gave us a different set of laws. God gave us all these things that we, you know, are supposed to do, ways we're supposed to live differently than the rest of the world. We're supposed to know God's words. It should direct our lives and everything we do. We want to be holy. And you should be holy too. And you should talk like us. And you should dress like us. And you should do what we do. And you should avoid doing the things we don't do, because that's how we know. You see, don't you remember? Centuries ago, our people were living like all the nations around them, and what did God say? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to send other nations greater than you to come and take you away and exile you from this land because you make me sick just watching you acting all worldly. We don't want to do that again. God bless the Pharisees. They didn't want idolatry to come back into the land again. They didn't want people entering into other ways of thinking and doing and living that weren't like God. So knowing and showing the law of God was really, really important. And sometimes even today, the people of God can get so careful and so secure in doing all the right things all the time to show how we know and we're holy. God help us. The yeast of the Pharisees starts to puff us up. And we rise up because we know and we show what it means to live holy in this world. And if you don't look like us and talk like us and go to the places we go and do what we do, then you must be those poor, unraised heathens. Yeast of the Pharisees is the yeast of self-righteousness. It's that sense of, I can be confident because I know I didn't break commandment 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. You get the idea. Okay. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees. But what's the next part? Yeast of the Sadducees. What's that about? Well, the Sadducees were a group that were all about gaining and maintaining. They'd figured out how to work with the Greeks. And then they figured out how to work with the Romans so that they could maneuver and get what they needed, not just to survive, but to thrive. They figured out how to make deals with the pontiff who was assigned at the time, or the governor, or Herod, one of the kings. They had figured out how to maneuver. They had recultured into their new homeland, and they figured out how to keep Israel influential and strong in its native territory. Well, God bless them for that. You know, we're good at that. Many of us have come from other nations. We figured out how to be Canadian. We figured out how to work the system, how to get the right promotions, how to secure ourselves, how to have the right accounts to secure our finances. We figured out how to teach our children to survive in this world, and even some of our grandchildren. We know all about that maintaining and gaining thing. We work real hard at that. And when we're not careful, we find that we're sucked right into the system just like everybody else. Beware the yeast of the Sadducees. They're so interested in maintaining what they've gained and securing their place that they don't have room to move when God says move. the kingdom of God is available and many are rushing in, but not the Sadducees because they're more interested in maintaining what they have. The status, the securities, the worldly things that they have wheeled and dealed to get themselves into. You know what I'm talking about? You live in the right neighborhood, drive the right vehicle, have the right clothes, know how to function in your friends, know how to please the boss, know how to make sure that you maintain your security. Have you worked really hard at doing that? Oh, I bet many of you have. I'll bet all of us have. I know I do. I try very hard to please the board here. I try very hard to please my district superintendent. I want them to think I'm just the best thing they ever saw. The yeast of the Sadducees, beware. Beware, it will keep you locked into the securities that you think you have that aren't securities at all. They become like a blanket that won't comfort you. It will choke you to death, and you will find yourself being raised up in your own sense of achievement, your own sense of influence, your own ability to have power over your life. That's what the yeast of the Pharisees is, and Jesus says, be very leery. This is such a subtle but powerful yeast. It will work all through your life, and you will find yourself kneeling at every cultural idol you're told to. You'll be finding yourself vexed and giving all of your effort and energy and time to keep the things you have, and it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Beware the yeast of the Sadducees. What about you? Have you found that you've got a stick where you've got securities, where you're maintaining your reputation, where you're maintaining your securities? Do you think more about that than maybe what the kingdom of God is asking of you or what the Lord says is the newest challenge he has in mind for you? Because sometimes Jesus says to people like the rich young ruler, sell everything you have and follow me, and then you will have true riches. And sometimes rich young rulers and Sadducees and comfortable, blessed people like us go away sadly because the yeast of the Pharisees has gotten all through our dough and we can't think of life without those things. So, beware. What is it you have to beware of? In the traditions, in the pride, in the ethnic identity, in the achievements of your life, in your own plans and hopes for your future to create a better existence down here while you're waiting for the earth to wear out like a garment? Are you a person who is trying hard to extract the yeast of the Pharisee? Because in your life, you've done right, you've been righteous, and everybody in your family and your friendship group knows you are right, good and holy. Or do you find that little bits of yeast of the Sadducees are sometimes in your heart? I'm going to ask you to take a minute and share. Because the truth is all of us have to fight off this yeast, either the Pharisee yeast or the Sadducee yeast. And I'll bet that as I've been sharing these words, the Lord has said to you, yeah, that's the one. That's the type of yeast I find in you that you need to ask me to extract from your life. Because even when it's melted all through the dough, I have a miraculous way of extracting it back out again when you humbly come to me. I want you to take a minute, think about which of those two types of yeast are the ones that infect you most easily. And I want you to get next to someone who's not in your family and someone who's not the same age as you. And I want you to just say, hey, I think about in my life, this is the one I've had the most trouble with. Or I think in my life, this is the one I've had the most trouble with. Yeah, your family, they already know which one it is, so that's why you're not going to talk to them. But you're going to talk to someone who's not related to you, who's not in your age group, and you're going to say, this is the one I need you to pray for me for. And then they're going to say, this is the one I need you to pray for me for. You don't give an example. You don't have to spill your guts out. Just tell the truth so that someone else can know you just a little bit better and pray for you. Let's take about 3 minutes to do that, would you? Get with someone you can share this with. I'm so glad that when I tell you to share for just a couple minutes, you just go at it. What a beautiful thing that says about the fellowship of our church. Let's come back to our seats and continue for just another moment. Well, I think that there's something to be said that when we confess our sins one to another, there's a new power that comes. And I believe that the Lord will honor what you've shared today. And I hope that you had the courage to tell what sort of yeast is most troublesome to you. But lest we go away from Jesus and think that his whole image of yeast is a bad one, let's remind ourselves of what Jesus said just a few chapters earlier of this very same book. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, a chapter we've been looking at, we heard the parable about the sower. We heard the parable about the weeds that grow up. And right in the midst of that passage, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like yeast. That a woman works through the dough. I guess only women could work dough back then. I don't know why Jesus says that, but he does. I don't think he's a sexist. But he says it's like a little yeast that goes through the dough. And pretty soon the whole loaf rises up. Oh, Jesus, what are you talking about? What is it you want us to be raised up by? What kind of yeast are you suggesting that we have in our lives? And if we think through the words that are around that verse, it doesn't take long to figure out that our willingness to believe in Jesus and follow him, that's what yeasts us up in the right way. For when we come to follow Jesus, we also come to expect what the Father will do through Jesus, and we also come to expect that the Holy Spirit of Jesus will speak into our minds and speak into our thoughts and will indeed raise us up in all the ways he wants us to be raised up, so that our shape, our texture, our taste will be attractive to the world around us. The world is looking for well-yeasted followers of the true God who have indeed been completely infected by his Spirit, who have found that the kingdom is fully integrated into their lives and the fruits of the Spirit are being grown like a late summer harvest. Does the yeast of faith abide in you? Has his Spirit sown its way through every molecule of the dough that is my life and yours? Oh, it's a very easy process to start. You don't have to go out and buy yeast. You've come to the place where the Spirit is given. It comes in a starting simple prayer that says, oh God, too much Pharisee, too much Sadducee in me. I've figured out how to survive in this world, how to look good and Christian, but you're not interested in that. Forgive me for my self-centered motivations. I believe, Jesus, that you are the one who brings me into the kingdom, for you have come from God, and to know you is to walk with God. I embrace you in faith. Send your Spirit into me that I may live and move and yeast up in all the right ways. Form and shape and texture and all. Let's pray. Holy God, you have not left this flat earth in all of its hardness, but you have come and walked among us through Jesus, your Son. We're not here to poke. We're not here to prove how proud, how capable, how flexible, how achieving we've been. Even in the successes of this life that we would dare to call our own, we come to you confessing our sins, our ego-driven attempts to do well in this life. Forgive us, for we are sinful, and we are self-serving. But Jesus, you are the one who comes to fill and lift our lives like bread with its first bit of yeast in it. We believe that you are the living one from God who's given so many signs to us. Already, you've drawn us to a place like this on a day like today. we believe you are the living God, that you have died and rose again so that we may enter your kingdom now and forever. Some of us have never prayed this, but we ask that you would seed your Spirit in us, even as we pray these words of faith to you. Let us have no other shaping yeast in our lives but your Spirit. Work your way through this dough that is our wearing flesh, in our heart, in our mind, in our souls, and in everything we call our own. Shape it, raise it, reshape it, whatever it takes, Lord. We come to you listening. We come to you longing that just as Jesus spoke, let your Spirit be that which works its way through every fiber of our being, that we may be transformed in the beautiful, attractive, and drawing way you desire. Thank you. Thank you for what you do in answer to these prayers. We offer them to you now. In Christ's name, amen. Our musicians are coming, and they're going to lead us in a song that prepares us not just to be God's people, but also to partake of the living bread. Would you stand with me and with the team as we sing with open hearts, Jesus, lead on.
Screw.